happening, y'all? And thanks again for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And as always, I'm not in the ship alone. Sitting next to me is the man with the pimp limp, I guess you could say. This fella, man, he's a mover and a shaker, right? This is Big Fizzy.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here. Back from the frozen north, or at least north to me.
He's on crutches. He's back in the boot, except this time he's got a knee brace.
No, that's not true.
No, he's totally fine.
I'm 100% fine. We just got back
from... You're not 100% fine.
No.
You're just healthier.
I got
you. But you're not fine. Dude, you ain't never been 100% anything.
It's true. Very true. Yeah, I'm back from Colorado with the family ski and snowboard trip. We had a great time. The weather was absolutely perfect. It snowed a lot before we got there, so they had like 108 inches of snow literally right before we got there. And the whole 5 or 6 days we were there, it didn't snow one bit. It started snowing again the day we left. So
you smell like electric lettuce. Is that normal?
No. Yeah, we went to some shops up there. It was
we can't talk about that.
It was fun. No, we went to all kinds of shops. Let me finish. Like antiques and stuff.
Homemade soaps.
You saw some of the bling Jacob had on that he found some of the shops.
Yeah.
We found a really cool sugar skull, like a handbag for my wife that she really liked, and it was a pretty good deal. Pretty cool just walking around. I can't believe how much.
You know what you got on the trip? Receipts.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what you got to take home.
How much receipts. The town of Pagosa Springs has really grown in the last year or so. If you've never been up to that part of Colorado, Southern Colorado, you should check it out, man. It's a beautiful area.
It's pretty.
Very fun time there. But I'm glad. And I did good. In fact, I felt better this year on the mountain than I did in February.
Well, and you also told me that your son kind of called you out. Jacob kind of called you out a little bit.
Yeah, the drive up there.
And you had to, you know, go ahead and strap on the board and put him in his place still, because old man still got some moves.
I think
people don't know, because you've never shared the photographs or a lot of that stuff about you and your brother, how much y'all used to travel and snowboard there for like a section of 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
All the time, like up to Canada, up to what? Where'd y'all go? Y'all went all over the U.S. skiing there for a while.
Yeah. We had the bug back then. We did a lot of snowboarding.
Yeah, because every time I looked up, you were gone. Like, literally, it was there for a while. It seemed like every month during snow skiing season, or during at least the winter seasons, y'all were gone for at least a week or better every month for several months.
Yeah, and I still love it, but I don't go as hard as I used to. Like, I used to, if we went on a 5-day trip, I would snowboard 4 of the 5 days.
Yeah.
This time, we went for 6 days. I snowboarded one day.
Yeah, you're like, I'm good.
I came. I saw. I did what I had to do. The rest of the time, we cooked everything at home. We didn't go out to any restaurants and stuff. What was interesting is like the mask rules based on where you're at. So they were much stricter in New Mexico than they were Colorado.
It just all changes.
It also probably has to do with size of town. So I'm sure if you go to Denver, it's probably different rules there.
Yeah, you're probably right.
But I feel good. I feel relaxed. I feel like I was able to clear my head by getting up there in the mountain air and just breathe better, and everything was good.
It's good times, and y'all got good snow and all. It's just fun.
Yeah, and then
it's
I
a
get
fun
back
getaway
today, and like my day is already starting off. I'm already frustrated, and it's back to being mad at the world. Like, okay, so starting out, we went to the gas station before on the way over here to Skeleton Studios, and this is just a pet peeve of mine that annoys the heck out of me. You ever go to a convenience store or somewhere, and there's somebody in the store, like in line, 3 or 4 feet away from you, having a conversation on their phone, on speakerphone.
Yes.
And they're oblivious that they're just talking out loud, and the person on the other end is talking aloud about God knows what, and you're just like,
you want me to tell you how to remedy that?
Go, like, have your conversation somewhere?
I started doing this back when I worked for the city, so much so that they called one of my supervisors one time about it, the person that I had made mad doing this. I've never told anybody this because this is one of those things. If you have your speakerphone open and you're carrying on a conversation in front of me, I will interject myself into that conversation because obviously you want to have it heard. You want to have it shared. If they say something, I'll just laugh randomly. That's a good one. And just leave it like that. I make it so awkward. They either get mad and leave, or they call you back. They're like, hey, can I call you right back? And then they laugh it off. And it is one of those passive aggressive things that I do.
Yeah,
I know it's an ass move, but I'm like, look, your world isn't so busy that you can't wait to get in the car to make that conversation. And I'll tell you why. Because people still got things done before phones were invented. That's why. Leave it alone. You're not that important. Anybody listening to this, you're not that important.
Yeah.
Don't do that. Don't be that person. Spend time in the moment.
I wish people would. I mean, how many times am I on the phone with you and I'll be like, hold on, the guy's fixing a...
Yeah, let me
holler right back at you. No problem. I'd rather you do that than to leave me there listening to your exchange.
Yeah. Well, because Kyle and I like to try to make each other laugh all the time. And so if we're talking and if I'm at, because he's done it to me before.
You have your earbuds on.
You have your earbuds in where you can't. Exactly. And so you can hear the conversation that's going on with some other person. And then we start ad-libbing that conversation, trying to get whoever it is to break character while they're looking. And Kyle's got me a few times. I've got him a few times where it's one of those ones where you start laughing at someone's face and you're like, I'm sorry, it's this guy on the phone that I'm talking to where it's. But anyway, that's the kind of sickness we have. But look, we're not involving anyone else in the shenanigans. It's just between Kyle and I.
Yeah.
Don't talk on your speakerphone, folks. If you talk on your speakerphone, we're going to make sure people send black-eyed kids to your house.
Yeah. It's just a public service announcement.
That's right.
And then I was informed before I headed over here, I got a little argument with my wife, that her grandmother's birthday's approaching and they're having a get-together at one of her cousin's house and we're going to have brunch. And I said, I'm out. And she said, what? I'm not going. She's like, what do you mean you're not going? It's a family thing. I'm like, I'm not going to brunch. I go, call it something different and I'll go. And she's like, that's it? I was like, yeah, just don't call it brunch.
I was going to say, I'm going to tell y'all right now, folks, I'll send you the picture whenever Kyle's at brunch.
Oh, I'll be there. See? Just don't call it that. I just don't like it. You know, like, you ever had that feeling of walking down like a dark alley and there's some shady looking characters across the street and you just feel like something wrong?
No.
That's the way I feel if I feel like I'm at brunch. Like, I just shouldn't be here. So, yeah, like so that was a little, it wasn't a serious argument, folks. But I think that's a girl thing. Like, they really think, like, that sounds fun. Like, oh, we're going to have mimosas.
Oh, my family loves it.
I'm just like, huh?
My wife and daughter and all of their whole big gathering. They love it.
Fine. Go enjoy yourself.
Well, I told Kyle, I have something like people talk about FOMO. I don't have FOMO.
Tell them what FOMO is, first of all.
The fear of missing out. People have FOMO, right? My granddaughter has FOMO so bad she can't hardly take a nap. She hears some boy, she's like, what are y'all doing, right? Yeah. She's 6 months old. She's like, what are y'all up to? She can't stand it. I have JOMO. That's the joy of missing out. I suffer from JOMO and I love it.
Yeah.
Like, it is something I welcome. Oh, I can't go? Shucks. Oh, you're going to be busy and I'm going to miss it? Drats.
Yeah.
Like, I'm telling you, when I say I only talk to Kyle, we're in studio right now. I don't go out and talk to a lot of people. If y'all send me messages on Instagram or Facebook and I can get back with y'all, that's pretty much the extent of me talking. Just, I don't really leave out of here because I enjoy missing out on brunches. But I tell you what I don't enjoy missing out on.
Okay.
Encountering deer man.
Oh.
I don't mean not deer. Wait till you see. So Lon sent this over because he knows how I am about deer man, right?
Mm-hmm.
I love it. And he actually made a post in here. He said, was this a centaur or was this a shapeshifter? Mm-hmm. Let me read this to you.
Please.
This is what, let me put my glasses on. I just poked myself in the eye with the arm of my glasses.
I've done that.
Man, I am terrible at wearing glasses. It says this. I'll preface this by saying I'm a skeptic. As much as I'd like supernatural things to exist, I find it hard to believe. I'm sure there's a logical explanation for what I've encountered, but that doesn't stop it from being the weirdest thing I've ever experienced. What did he experience, you ask, folks? There's a deer man encountered by friends in Tappahannock, Virginia. Now, I'm just going to go on the record and say, whoever gave that town that name, y'all ought to be ashamed of yourselves. That's a lot of P's and some N's. And come on, and I probably didn't pronounce it right, and y'all are going to message me, and I'm going to save y'all the effort. I don't read it, so just that's how it's going to be. So the story goes like this. This was early 2006. I was a college student at VCU, and my friend was visiting me from out of town. So we decided we'd go ghost hunting, because why not?
Right.
Those type of shows were really popular at the time, and we were bored. I had gone a few months earlier with a group of friends to a place called Preacher's Rest in rural Tappahannock, Virginia, and it turned out to be an old house in the woods where supposedly a church burned with people inside. That says, I think it's been a long time. Remembering this, I suggested it to my friend who agreed we should check it out. Now that's a good friend right there, right?
Yeah, right.
There's ghosts. Let's go look. We picked up another friend and her boyfriend, and the four of us set out for Tappahannock, about an hour's drive away from Richmond. we ended up just driving around the empty wooded roads once we got there. I hadn't been driving the first time we went and couldn't remember exactly how to get there, other than a general store with a weird statue of Elvis out front. Folks, if any of you live out around this area that listen, please get me a picture of this weird Elvis statue, right?
Right.
Tag me in that post on Instagram, would you? Tag the show. But it says, my friend was in the passenger seat and the couple was in the back. We reached a road that was a straightaway for about a quarter of a mile, dipping in the center before climbing back up. And as we descended towards the dip, I saw a deer on the opposite side of the road. Well, I slowed down, since I've always been nervous about hitting one. The animal had its head bent near the ground, but right away, I knew something was wrong. The legs were misshapen, knobby and twisted. I remember thinking maybe it was diseased or deformed as we approached it. Right when we were going to pass, the deer looked up. And both my friend and I, well, we screamed. The deer had a man's face. We were going slow enough that I was able to take in every detail. The deer's neck became human skin, and the thing's eyes were wide in surprise, as if we weren't supposed to be there.
Right.
I turned to my friend and shouted, "Did you see that?" "Yeah, it had a dude's face." Now, the couple in the back had been bickering, so they didn't see anything, but we tried to explain what we saw. But I'm sure they really understood how weird it was. So we ended up hitting a dead end after a bit, and we had to turn around, meaning we had to go back to the road where we saw the deer man. This time we were all on full alert, and as we approached the dip in the road, right where we saw the deer man, now on the passenger side, an adorable basset hound puppy was approaching the road from the trees. Now, the couple wanted us to stop for the cute puppy, but there was no way I was going to slow down. I remember thinking, that's a trap. It's a trap.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot that could explain the deer disease, weird lighting, etc. But why the hell was this puppy in the exact spot as the deer man? I can't help creating a story in my mind about what would have happened had we stopped. Probably nothing, but I wasn't going to find out, RT. So I have to ask you, I've not heard of these stories of finding deer with men's faces, a human face.
No, it reminds me of the Jimmikin.
The Jimmikin. Now, you imagine that in deer form. What could you have mistaken this for?
I don't know, but I do like the part where, and this is common with many of these strange sightings, it's almost like it's aware, like, how come you can see me?
Yes.
You're not supposed to, like, whatever it is, both parties are equally shocked.
Yes.
Like, what am I looking at?
But, and what would you mistaken it for? Like, if you see mange or CWD, it doesn't affect the hair. It doesn't affect the length of the nose. Like, it's not going to make the face of a deer all of a sudden become hairless.
And it wouldn't look like a human.
And it wouldn't shorten its nose. It wouldn't shorten all. No, it would not. You wouldn't see, like, the hair down its neck. All of a sudden it stops and its skin the rest of the way up. That doesn't happen.
It's fey. It's fey.
It's fey.
Right?
It's fey. We talked about on the last show, of could it be fey? It's fey. That's the only explanations we have for these things. Creepy fey.
It's very crazy.
Creepy fey, Georgia fey. What is all these different feys? There's all these Tammy fey.
Yeah.
Right? That's the fey I'm afraid of is Tammy fey.
Yeah. Didn't she drink too much Diet Coke or something?
Something like that. I don't remember. Y'all don't, is it Tammy Faye Baker? Wasn't that her name?
Crazy.
She had all the, that's where all the Aquanet went. And if y'all don't know what Aquanet is, kids, time to do a little Google. Or if you're a Hot Tub Time Machine fan, time to do a little Google search.
Back when that was destroying the ozone.
Yes.
Right?
Aquanet and White Rain.
Yeah, cool.
Like a woman with a pump, White Rain. Had the big bangs up front.
I remember, what was the Australian brand? And everybody liked that for a little while. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, it was the bottle had like kangaroos on the front of it, right? Yeah, they were facing each other.
And of course, our high school mascot is the kangaroo.
Yeah. Man, I forgot what the name of that is.
It was like in a purple bottle. You know what I'm talking about. I don't even know if that stuff exists anymore. But
I don't remember what color the bottle was because I couldn't see that exact color. It was just real dark.
In the,
but I'm glad to know it was purple.
Early 90s. Yeah, that was the thing.
What was it, just Aussie? What was that stuff?
Man, I don't remember.
Now you're going to have me look at folks. I'm sure somebody out there's probably got a picture of it. Like they've still had one of them put up somewhere. They may still make it. What do we know?
I don't have any need for hair care products.
I cut all mine off and Kyle's all fell out. Well, there's no reason. We don't even own a comb.
I don't.
I do, but it's for my beard.
I have a little one for my mustache.
That's right.
Right. Speaking of cool, check this out. A listener writes in. It says
it's a
in
picture
the
of me.
In the mid to late 1990s, I owned a Texas-based national general contracting company serving large big box stores like Kmart, Walmart, and Barnes & Noble.
Word.
As the founder and CEO of the organization, it was my job to represent the company for our clients. It was one of these occasions where I was required to travel to Nogales, Arizona, to meet with a client's regional representatives to discuss a major upgrade project on their southwestern regional locations. Basically, I was present to wine, dine, and assure them that we were the company for the project. Pretty straightforward business, as usual. Although I previously mentioned wine because, please understand, I did not drink or do drugs or have any psychological issues to deal with. That morning, I flew into Phoenix, I rented a car, and drove to Nogales. Nogales is an old town that rests on the United States and Arizona border. The Mexico-United States border in Arizona. And I could sense the history and age as I drove through the town and up to the hotel that I had booked. It was an older hotel, and its age showed, but seemed clean enough, so I took my bags to my room. At the time, I was carrying my laptop computer. This was the days when laptops were large, clunky and expensive, so I took very special care with it. I sat the laptop down in my briefcase on the bed and my suitcase on a rack in the corner. It was mid to late afternoon, and I still had an hour or so to kill before I was to meet with the client for dinner at a local steakhouse. I pulled a cigar from my briefcase, and I set out to walk around the block to check out the area. I smoked my cigar and strolled leisurely around until I was finished with the smoke and returned to my room. As I unlocked and entered my room, I sensed something strange and immediately felt myself tensing and becoming on guard. I looked at the bed and my heart sunk for a moment. My laptop was nowhere in sight. I checked the door to the back balcony and it was still locked. I had just known that it was stolen. As I turned to head to the office to make my report, I saw my laptop propped up against the wall by the bed. This was something I would never do. I picked it up, I opened it, and I felt a great relief as all seemed okay. As I tried to rationalize what had happened, I considered maybe the maid making a turndown call. But frankly, this hotel was not that upscale, and the bed was not turned down. Had I left it there and just didn't remember? Not very likely. I racked my brain and could not really develop a satisfactory answer. Time caught up to me and I had to leave for the dinner meeting. I left the hotel and soon forgot about the whole incident. We had a good steak dinner and dealt with business, and I was back in my hotel room by about 11:30 p.m. Soon I was off to sleep. Suddenly, around 1:30 a.m., I was abruptly awoken by a strange sound. It was the loud sound of water running. I laid there and looked up, thinking maybe this old hotel probably didn't have adequate insulation and the person next door was taking a shower. But this sound, it was just too loud. I got up and went towards the sound. It was coming from my bathroom. I leaned into the doorway and turned on the light, half expecting to see a broken pipe or something similar. As my eyes adjusted to the light, my hearing to the sound, I realized the sound was in the bathtub behind the shower curtain. I pulled back the curtain and saw water gushing from the bathtub faucet. Now, at this point, you might think it was just a sudden change in water pressure or the faucet had gone bad. Maybe. I had forgot to turn it off completely and the pressure changed during the night and made it run faster. First of all, though, I had not used the tub or the shower. I usually shower in the mornings. I had only used the sink to wash up before bed. And second, and most importantly, it took me 4 complete turns to turn the water off. I guess whatever it was needed a bath. After a few minutes of contemplating this and the earlier afternoon event, I was not able to sleep for the rest of the night. The bathroom door was around the corner and just out of sight from the bed. I laid there watching that corner of the room until sunrise. I packed, left town, and never looked back. Greg Beck from Fort Worth, Texas.
Oh,
very cool. Sounds like the room was haunted. I mean, yeah. and the title of his story was Dirty Ghost. He says, guess he needed a bath. I thought that was pretty cool.
That's real cool. But there's no explanation for that. A water valve only works one way.
It's not going to require like four full turns to turn it off. No. Pipes break and leak and all that stuff. And I could get if it was, you know, like a, it was a really cold night and the pipes froze and something
I have
broke.
A little experience with this.
Right. Exactly. So I don't know. Strange story. Sounded like it was haunted.
It does.
And what I laughed is when he talked about back in the early 90s, how big and clunky the laptops were. I remember I bought one. It was like a Dell.
I remember this.
And I thought it was the coolest thing, but it was expensive. And especially for me back then, I didn't have a whole lot of money.
I remember it was like carrying around a television.
It was after I got out of high school. So I graduated high school in 94. This would have been like 98. And yeah, I bought it for work. And it was a pretty
had
penny.
The big battery pack.
Yeah, exactly. And it took, and I remember it took me like 3 years to pay that darn thing off. And now you can get them. I mean, they're everywhere.
Like the tablet. I have an iPad in front of me. Does 10 times the amount that thing would do.
Oh, way more.
And I remember, too, you would always get mad at how long it took to charge. Like if it got low, like you'd be like, this something's going to take a day and a half for it would even get the power in it.
Yeah.
It's such a pain.
And instead of a mouse, it had that like little nipple thing that you could move. I don't know why they did away with that.
Did you milk it? Yeah, it has right? nipples, Fokker. You can milk it.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, what are we going to be talking about today?
I am going to be getting into pet ghosts. And I don't mean ghosts you keep as pets. I'm talking about pets that have returned as ghosts. When we get back on the other side of this break, folks, we're going to get into some high strangeness and some weirdness with some of our loved pets. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. Here we go. Something that Kyle and I have discussed. Y'all have heard us talk about it from time to time. Never really chased it down. And I don't know why it come about. I don't know what made me think of it other than an old tale that I had heard. And that kind of sent me down this whole deal. And what I'm talking about is what we alluded to. The ghost pets. I guess you would call it. You wouldn't say pet ghosts, right? You don't have pet ghosts, but you could have a pet that became a ghost or ghost pets. So if you look through history, and we've covered a lot of them, there's all these tales, you know, about like, what is it, like black dogs, big black cats, but they all have some sort of... I guess you could say like a strange history to them, right? Like these big cases. So what I mean by that is like, you know, you'll hear there's one called the Black Dog of Connecticut, right? There's trying to think of the name. Was it Wampus Cat? Isn't that another one of the cryptids or whatnot that may be spectral? So there's always these caveats to it. But I wanted to look at the ones that everyday people had. I wanted to look and find stories that people like you or I had had where you had had a family pet and it had passed and it was somewhat, if not totally devastating. And then somewhere down the line, you get almost an acknowledgement, almost like them returning just to let you know, hey, it's all good. And I think we can all agree. We've all had pets that you're connected to more than others. There's always that one, right? Like you may have had several dogs or cats or whatever you have, but you've connected with one more than another. And there's always that one. And when that one passes, of course, it's like You know, but you've lost a family member, and it's not like losing a family member. It is losing a family member. I mean, you've had this everything, right? The everything you've put in and all you've given and all the love and all the focus and everything that you've given. It is a devastating feeling when you lose a family pet. And so that sent me down the path of finding more about some strange ghost pets. I found one that I had no idea, and a lot of you won't have any idea who the Brady Bunch was, okay? I barely remember because I didn't really watch it a lot when I was a kid, but old television show, so there's people that was on there, and I believe the dude, I think it was Chris Knight, not the singer, the one that played Peter Brady was the one that actually had told a story about waking up one night, and I remember it was crazy because so the whole cast, I believe, was staying in a bed and breakfast. They were filming their clothes or maybe even in the bed and breakfast, whatever it was. But everybody, you know, that was involved had all been up late. They were all telling stories, creepy stories, of course. Peter tells a story later. I'm going to have to just call him Peter. So Peter Brady tells a story about how he was awoken in the bed and breakfast later that night or early that morning, whatever it was, that there were two dogs at the foot of his bed and some creepy little girl in a doorway. And so he freaks, right? Freaks out. He ends up the next day waking up, going down, telling people about this, goes and finds the owner of this bed and breakfast they're staying at, and was like, hey, this is what happened. If y'all ever had anything happen, the owner goes, hey, come with me. So they walk down the hall and into the big sitting area where there's a big fireplace. And above that fireplace, there on this little fire area, the guard of the fireplace, the dogs were there. Now, what was strange was, and I mean like their outline, their shape, their artistic rendition of the dogs were there, not the actual ghost dogs, right? That would be a hell of a thing. He's like, oh yeah, I got ghost dogs all the time. So what it was, and the guy, here's the crazy thing about it. The dude, the owner now was telling him, he's like, this picture was inspired by the animals that used to live here, by the people that once owned it, like this whole thing. So the dogs kind of come with the place. So it was just kind of one of those things. What's strange is like, you don't really go into or find out why, like any history about those dogs, other than they were very beloved, you know, animals and very beloved pets. And they just kind of stayed behind. Like all this went down and they just kind of hung out there and decided, you know, this is where we stay to look over things. Speaking of staying and looking over things, now, like I said, these are old stories that have a lot of, not of course the Peter Brady one, this one I'm about to tell you, has a lot of like folklore to it and a lot of history to it, which again is funny because we've talked about these cryptid animals, these unknown animals rather, are these ghostly animals. They have a strange history. That's not the history we're looking for, right? We're looking for the everyday folks. This story, though, I don't know what it is. It's anytime you tell a dog story about loyalty and loving their master, if you will, or loving their owner or loving their person, I'm not surprised by it at all, right? If you tell a cat story about love, I feel like a cat story is more about tolerance, right? Like they tolerate you just because you feed better than your neighbors. But a dog, I really feel like that's a real love. Like, look, it's weird, right? Everybody, yeah, and cats are the same way. Cats will be loving. Yeah, that's always the joke, right? They're not loving. We know that's a joke, but we know cat owners are yelling right now. We understand it's true, too. But it's just something about a dog. It's just, I don't know, they're different. It's a very strange thing. So this story actually goes all the way back. Well, I guess you could say it's coming up if we talk about February 8th. But this is February 8th, a few hundred years ago when this all took place. There was a fella named Charles Sims. And the story goes that he was in Port Tobacco, Maryland, and that he was there in a little tavern meeting his adventuring party. No, I'm kidding. It's not D&D. I know, right? He was there just hanging out with a bunch of friends, and they were having a big get-together, drinking and whatnot. And people were coming and going, and it was a big deal. Now, apparently, old Charles he got a little boisterous. He got a little loud whenever he drank, right? Whenever he got the liquid courage in him, he started really getting lippy. And that started again. So he's in there being lippy. Now with him, by the table where he's sitting, is his favorite blue tick hound. All right? So him and this old blue tick hound are just hanging out. Charles is pounding him down, and he starts bragging. And of course, story goes, he's bragging about how much money he's got on him. He's bragging that he carries, like, oh, I own this property. I've got the deed to this property. All of this stuff. Well, of course, you never do that, right? It's like flashing your bankroll. You never flash your bankroll at the bar. You just kind of keep it under wraps, right? Well, Charles didn't. Charles is all busted up. And so he leaves out of there. He's heading home. Well, on the way home, he's taking Rose Hill Road. And he's attacked. He's attacked by some highwaymen that actually heard him talking about it. Story goes, the fella's name is Henry Hanos. And Henry has a buddy. And he and Henry come in there and jump on him, start busting him up. And Charles is fighting back. He's fighting back like crazy. And while fighting back, his dog, his Blue Tick Hound, jumps in there, right? Blue Tick Hound helps out. Well, they kill the dog, right? This, we're talking John Wick style. Now they've killed the dog, so you already know Charles is mad. So the next day, they find the dog, and not far, they find Charles, both dead. They had succumbed to their injuries. So story goes that old Hanos there, right? Oh, what's his face? Henry. That Henry and the fella that was with him took the gold, took everything that they had found, and went and hid it, buried it. And they found a certain holly tree. And they knew that, okay, this one sticks out. This one's not like the normal. This one's going to make us where we remember. That's where we're going to put it. Story goes that after they decide to return to get the money after the fight, and they kind of buried it to lay low, that they were attacked. And they were attacked by a ghostly specter of a blue tick hound. Now, they don't talk about physical, right? They don't talk about anything physical that happened to them from the attack. But what they do talk about is they never could get to the gold. That when they got to the gold, they were under some sort of psychic attack or whatever you could want to call it. But that after the very first time of trying to retrieve it, Henry, after the attack, got very, very ill and died, like very soon, within a week of trying to get it, was on it. Accomplice, he never went back. He had nothing more to do with it. He saw what had happened, nothing. The story goes that the gold's still there, protected by the dog. Now, of course, that makes a great old story, right? Like, those are the kind of history stories we talk about. But then I found one that takes place in Michigan. And Tony and all of my friends up in Michigan, Sarah, all of y'all, this is something that if y'all live up there, you might want to go check out. It's the Holly Hotel, and it's in Michigan. And the story goes like this, that there was a Ghostbuster person named, and apparently this is a world famous Ghostbuster person, big into going and checking out all this stuff, named Norman Gauthier, okay? Norman's a parapsychologist. And I think of Paranorman. Everybody seen that cartoon movie, Paranorman? Yeah, so this is Paranorman is up there in the Holly Hotel. This is back in 89. And says, hey, look, there's a lot of stuff going on in here in this Holly Hotel. So starts talking and brings forward the idea that people start smelling, and we've talked about this, perfumes while in the Holly Hotel. You find cigarette smoke lingering in certain areas when there's been no cigar smoking, when there's been no cigar smoking in the entire place, right? I love those stories. But the coolest thing was the former owner of the Holly Hotel was named Mr. Hurst, and Mr. Hurst had a dog named Leona. Now, Leona, from what I gather, looks like a little Shih Tzu. Like, Leona's like a little terrier, just a cute as hell little dog. Story goes that not just one guest, not just, you know, every now and again the people that work there, but that multiple people have heard the ringing of the collar, the clicking of the nails on the floor, running up and down the hallways from Leona, People have also reported feeling something that has brushed against their leg. As they've been walking down the hallway, they hear this noise. They actually feel contact. They believe it's Leona running through there. They also hear Phantom barking in, you know, I guess unseen areas of the hotel. As you're going, you hear barking around the corner. There's no dog, of course. The people that come in the restaurant part that do the early morning open up, they report hearing barking all the time. Like when they get there in the morning, it's like they've woken Leona, right? Like now Leona's letting you know, hey, I know what's going on. I'm paying attention. I just think that's awesome. The idea of the dog always being there, right? Always being on, vigilant, just hanging out, the whole thing. It doesn't stop there. I found a story. Now, this story is crazy in my book because it has to do with water, right? You know how I feel about that. The story takes place that somewhere in the 1880s, but I can't remember exactly. There is a family and they have left Cuba and they're going to Bermuda. And they have a couple of young daughters, this whole group of this family during this journey they're going. They also have a family pet named Sheba. Now, she's a German Shepherd and loyal as can be, loyal as the day is long, right? Like this dog is everything to this family and this family is everything to this dog. Well, during this, as you would imagine, something comes along, storm comes along, turns the ship to pieces, everything goes down. The girls, you know, the dog's there with them in the room, the whole thing. The girls are trying to hang on, the whole deal. The story goes that out of all the stuff that went down, everybody fighting the waves, fighting everything, Sheba was only able to save one of the children. They hung onto her collar. One was pulled away, swept away in the storm. Sheba makes it to land, wherever they were at, and hears the screams, and I'm sure this maybe comes from the other sister. Here's the crying, here's the calls, and Sheba runs back out into the waves, of course, to save the little girl, and neither one are ever seen again. It's over. And so it's believed, you know, that what had happened, they had both perished, you know, due to the waves. Ever since that point, there have been several sightings in the Bahamas. And if y'all remember, I've talked about this before. I believe it was in Florida when they had talked about seeing the ghost of a young man who might have died trying to get back to his girlfriend, right, or his fiance. Much along the same lines, that's what's going on here in the Bahamas. People report seeing a German Shepherd, but a phantom-like German Shepherd. And they said that you can see it on the beach, run and jump into the water, paddle out, and then dive under, and it never comes back to the top. There's even one where a case where a 9-year-old girl claimed that she had fallen into the ocean from her parents' sailboat, had been trying to get in it, right? Like splashing about. A German Shepherd just paddles up to her, grabs her, and basically drags her back to shore. It starts barking. When it gets to the shore, it's, you know, excited. Tail wagging, its whole body's wagging, it's barking at her. The little girl said she looks up at it, it's gone. It blinks out of existence right in front of her. That's not the only story. A 12-year-old girl, same thing, said that while she was snorkeling with her family, she looked above and saw a dog paddle over the top of her. Right over the top. And she said, I know it was a German Shepherd. So she goes to the top. She swims up, pops out of the top, and calls to the dog. Like, hey, because, you know, you got to be thinking, she's panicking, right? Any of us would, but especially if you're 12-year-old, you're like, what is happening? Like, this dog didn't come out here with us. There's no way it paddled. There's no way a dog paddled all the way out here, right? So she starts yelling back, hey, hey. The dog looks back, barks at her. She hears the return bark. The dog dives under the water. Never comes up, never pops to the top again. Only thing that they can think of, or that she could actually think of as she's gotten older and her parents talked about, is maybe the dog thought she was in trouble. You got to imagine when the dog went under, maybe there wasn't a lot of snorkeling, right? Like there's not a lot of snorkeling takes place in the Bahamas in the early or late 1800s. Then I found a post from Laura. She comes from the UK. This is one of those ones that I was wondering about. She writes that around 10 years ago, my older sister walked into our kitchen and saw a black and white border collie sitting in the middle of the floor just looking at her. Now, she thinks or recounts that the dog was only there for a couple of seconds, and then it just vanished into thin air. Well, growing up in a haunted flat, we all became strangely desensitized when odd things like this would happen. Now, it still scared us, but we stopped making such a big deal about it, and it became our normality. Now, what makes this particular experience different to all the others was that the moment she told our father what she had seen, his face paled and he got very, very quiet. He then went on to explain that in the 1950s, his father had seen the exact same breed of dog around the house they lived in and out in the street where it would disappear. Now, other family members had also seen this dog, but it was my dad's father that saw the dog the most. Now, the last time my grandfather saw the dog was outside their old house, and he had chased it away as he said it was an omen of death. Now, my dad doesn't know where this omen of death connection originated, but he does remember clearly his father talking about seeing this ghost dog. Now, he never told my sister nor me about this dog that haunted his family growing up and was shocked when my sister told him that she had seen the same breed of dog in our kitchen. See, we have never owned dogs, only cats. Now, my grandfather died when my father was 8 years old and was buried somewhere in Glasgow, but my father never knew where his grave was. Now, he vaguely remembers his mother telling him before she passed that there was no headstone or marker of any kind, as she couldn't afford one. So, earlier in this year, I started to research my family tree, and I took it upon myself that I had to find my grandfather's grave. My dad always wanted to go visit it, but never thought it would happen. After 3 months of obtaining a copy of his death certificate and contacting various councils, I eventually found the grave. The cemetery he's buried in is very large, and it's only 6 miles from my father's house. As the grave had no marker, the council had spray-painted a row of arrows to the layer, and upon seeing the grave for the first time, I felt very sad. Even though I've never met my grandfather, I've always felt connected to him through stories my dad has told me over the years about him. I knew then that I wanted to get a grave marker for him after all these years to give his grave a name. And after a month, the grave marker arrived and I went to the cemetery to lay it down on the grave. Now, I remember thinking how quiet the cemetery was, as usually there are people who walk their dogs through it. But didn't think much of it, as it had been raining heavily throughout the day, and I just chalked it up to that. Right after I laid the grave marker on the grave, I heard a loud bark and turned around to look to my right. Now there is a line of trees that run a few feet away from the grave, and there amongst those trees was a black and white border collie. We looked at one another for a few moments, and I noted that the dog had a collar. Now, the dog then turned and bolted back into the trees. Now, I didn't think much of it at the time and returned to looking at the grave. It was only when I was on the bus back to my house, I started to think more and more about what had happened, as if something was digging into my subconscious, that something wasn't right, and I suddenly remembered what my sister had seen years earlier. So I texted my sister right then, and her immediate reaction was, "That's the same dog." Part of me has tried to rationalize it, that perhaps it's just a dog, and this dog just happened to be the same breed, and it's all a huge coincidence. But then the other half of me believes that, well, that it was a sign. Of what, though, I don't know. But the moment was the first time in 50 years a marker had been placed on my grandfather's grave and his name finally being seen. I keep thinking perhaps this ghost border collie was connected to my grandfather somehow, more so than the rest of us. And even after he passed away, the border collie still followed him to his grave. Now, see, that's a great story. That's the kind of stories I'm looking for, right? I'm looking for families that have had this thing happen to them. I found another one, and this one was about a Rottweiler, and this Rottweiler is named Tyler. Now, I can tell you this. The person posting this must be living in a very rough part of the world, because this took place years ago when the poster was 19, said someone broke into their house, tried to rob them, pulled a gun, and shot at the person. But Tyler, the Rottie, Tyler took the bullets. Tyler got in front. Tyler was involved in the fight. And, of course, the robber leaves, and Tyler passes away. Tyler was about 11 years old, had been with the person in the house that was 19 at the time. But so he'd been with the person in the house over half their life. And so this poster says, you know, I held Tyler till Tyler passed. And later on, I guess the house was rented out to maybe family or whatnot. They said that someone has tried to break in the past and been chased away on the outside and on the inside before by a black Rottweiler, but it is a spectral black Rottweiler. And one person goes on that the people that live there is now the person that was originally involved in the first break-in that lost Tyler has moved back into the house, and that they feel at night pressure on the bed. They feel as something is jumping on the bed. They feel the paws of something against them. They said you can get up, like you can feel it on the bed, and then reach back and the bed will feel warm. I have read where people have had cats do this. My mother always called it making biscuits, and I'm sure a lot of people do it, like when the cat's getting ready, you know, laying down, or it's just kneading dough, where it's just moving its little paws back and forth. There are more reports than I even have time to recount on this podcast of that exact same thing happening, of people feeling the cats on them. People feeling the pressure of the cat behind their legs sleeping, like when you get there and they curl up, you know, making biscuits, kneading dough on you. They feel the dogs. They hear the dogs. These are all like heavily sensory oriented things. But what's funny is when people report feeling those, it's not a feeling of terror. It is, or not even a feeling of, let's say, apprehension or curiosity. Everyone reports the feeling of bliss, of knowing that the animal's there, you're not alone, and that you're taken care of, that they are still there looking over you. I love the idea of that. And it's also not only family pets, but people moving into homes, and these animals are still in these homes. One that goes that way is my husband and I moved into an old house. Now, we'd rented this in Massachusetts with our three cats. Now, every now and then in a long, dark hallway, I would feel something whoosh in behind me. And out of the corner of my eye, I would see a cat running. So I always assume it's one of our three cats. Except this one is jet black. And the reason that's so odd is because my three cats are patterned. But it doesn't stop there. This cat would vanish, run down the hallway, and vanish into the wall as it ran through. Run into a bedroom, vanish when it went into the bedroom. I would see it run down the hall and duck into the kitchen, only to vanish when I stepped foot into the kitchen. Now, occasionally, in sleep, I can feel a cat jump on the bed, and I have groggily, multiple times, set up to reach out to pet it, thinking it's one of ours, only to know there's no cat there. I've had friends stay the night with us and ask in the morning, "Do y'all have a ghost cat?" And of course, I have to tell the story. And they said, "Yeah, I felt it too on the guest bed." Now, apparently this was a happy cat who haunts this house. And it says, seems to be very pleased with the people that live there. Sadly, the person that wrote this says that her and her husband and their cats had to leave the house, and they've never had another run-in with the black cat. So the cat comes with the place and stays with the place, right? So I've also got one here. Well, this one takes place here in Texas. It says, this is my mom's experience, but she has given me permission to tell it. When my mom was pregnant with me, my dad surprised her with a puppy, a little rat terrier. This puppy's name was Susie. She was always right by my mother's side. She went with us on camping trips. She went with us to family's homes and even to the beach. She was even in a lot of our family photos. But when Susie was 12, she started to suffer from serious health issues that caused her everyday life to be miserable. So my parents agreed it would be the best to end her suffering and to have her put to sleep. It was a hard decision, but we know that Susie didn't deserve to suffer. Well, not long after Susie passed away, my mom was walking through the living room late one night, around 1 a.m., and she noticed a small black shadow circling her feet. The only light she had was from the outside lights, so she couldn't see much. She said it moved like Susie, but she couldn't see its face, and to this day, my mom occasionally still sees the black shadow when she's walking at night, and she is 100% sure it's still Susie. My mom has a blind cat. This cat's name's Helen. And sometimes Helen will stop in the middle of what she's doing and focus on something in the distance. It's almost like she sees something because her head will slightly move like she's watching it. Now, it says, once I've read that some Native American tribes believe blind animals can see into the spirit world, and I personally believe it, especially since animals have already sensitive to the kind of spirits. My mom also has two other dogs, and they act like they see something too. They turn their heads to the side and watch something move around in the hall. So I thought that was interesting. The fact that Susie's there, but the other animals still see it. Now, it does make you wonder, because it will freak you out, right? When you think about that kind of stuff, you think about like when you see your cat just freeze and look down the hallway or just stand and staring and looking in the corner. I try to play it off, right? Don't you all? You just try to play it off. Like, oh, what are you looking at? You're looking at dust floating in the sun? You're like, what are you doing over there? Quit being silly. Because you don't really want to think that it's looking down the hallway at something that's looking at you or something looking at it. Or it might not be what we think it is, because we always jump in our minds to the worst possible thing. It might not be that. It might simply be that it's just another pet and that your pets are seeing their pets, right? So maybe that's what's popping off. Who the heck knows? I'm going to read you one more, though, and I'm going to leave you with this. This is for my niece, Lou, and her husband, Nate. They're going to really enjoy this. I don't think they listen. Actually, I don't think any of my family listens. Oh, wait. I've got a nephew, my nephew Clint. He listens, so he'll have to tell them about this because the rest of them don't. So they'll get a good kick out of this if they hear it, because they've just got a Doberman puppy, and this Doberman's not very big. And if you've ever seen a Doberman puppy, they're all feet and ears, right? Like that's all they are. But this puppy's beautiful. But I'm going to read them this one right here. Tell you, this took place in 2015. Kelly posted this. It says, this story takes place in a town just outside of Cincinnati, Ohio. So when I was a child, my mother was a single mom. My sister and I and my mother lived at my grandparents' home. Now, it was a smaller house, so we had to share a room and a king-size bed. This house was older, so we always heard strange noises. I remember my grandmother would joke about the strange noises and claim that they were her ghost friend, George. Now, it made us laugh, but just about every night I went to bed scared. We would hear scratching on our floors like a dog scratching hardwood floors, except we didn't have a dog. We heard these scratching sounds and walking sounds almost every night. We could even hear it breathing and panting, and this went on for quite some time. Then one night, after we had just gotten settled into bed with the lights out, I was looking at the window when all of a sudden a swirl of black smoke formed from the window. It floated down towards the floor where it formed into a Doberman pincer dog. Now, I stared at this dog as my heart dropped and every hair on my body stood up. I was paralyzed in fear. So then the Doberman starts to walk towards the end of our bed and I can hear those familiar nail taps on the floor. It walks to the dresser that's in front of our bed. It puts its two front paws on the dresser and looks into the mirror, and I can see its eyes staring back at me. Its eyes were red and glowing. Then it gets down and starts walking around towards my side of the bed. I then bury my head under my mother's arms, and then I did not move until the next morning. At the time this happened, I was 6 years old, and I never told anyone what I had seen that night, and I never saw the dog ghost again. Now, some years pass, and I think I was about 13, and one day I decided to tell my sister about what I saw that night, and she looked at me. She turned white as a ghost herself and told me that she had seen the exact same thing that night. So then we went to my mother and told her our story. I thought she would think we were crazy, but she just looked at us speechless. Then she confessed that she had also seen this demonic-looking black Doberman dog in our room that night. So then, curious, I asked her, "So where did the dog go after I hid my face?" She told me that once it came around to my side of the bed, that it just jumped through the window and out. Now, I felt a big relief knowing that I wasn't crazy and that they had seen it also. My mother later told me about people who had lived in the house across the street from us. Now, she told me that sometime in the 60s that family that lived there suffered a great tragedy. That Halloween night, the mother and the son were in town. And when they came home, the father had killed the three Dobermans that they had for family, and he had killed himself. And that it's believed that the Dobermans still circle that home and still feel trapped in that house looking to keep the family safe. So it sounds like, and this is me talking now, so that's it, that's the end of the story. So it sounds like this one Doberman they saw, there might be all three, but it sounds like one of them, it's not evil at all. It's a protector. It has nothing to do with it. It's watching for your safety. It's watching for anything out of the ordinary. And that's what it's doing. And I like to think of the idea, and like I said, this is the nostalgic romantic in me, I guess. I like to think of the idea that our pets are still somewhere around, and they may still be somewhere keeping a vigilant watch out for us. Because at the end of the day, let's be honest, we don't deserve them. We don't deserve dogs and cats. We don't deserve to have that kind of connection, right? They truly are a gift from the universe, and it's always good to have one around. Folks, let's take a quick break. We get back, we'll wrap this baby up. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. All right, there we go.
Very
done
cool.
And done. There's, like I had told y'all on here, and I had told Kyle off the air, if you go online, like I even dug into Reddit, and I said, you know what? I know people are going to post about this. This is something, if it is pet related, everybody shares it, mm-hmm. right? We always do. There is, now, and they're not long. Like you have to remember, for those of you that haven't done a lot of Reddit reading and, you know, and a lot of stuff, you don't always get, and I'm not even the best of it. I'm not condemning anyone. You don't always get the best storytelling. Yeah. You don't always get the best spelling. Like a lot of it, you know, it's people are just sharing their thoughts. And lots of times it's hard. There is, that's why there's authors and writers. There are people that are gifted at being able to write things and you clearly and concisely understand them.
Right.
Then there's people like Kyle and I that don't write things that way. And we try our best and it just works out. So you got to weed through it, but literally thousands, like I, without exaggeration, there is probably 1500 stories, maybe more. I mean, it is ridiculous. And when I mean stories is like just little things of people going, yeah, that happened to me. We had a cat.
Right.
I felt the cat on the bed, you know, after it had passed. We had dogs. I heard dog barking. I've heard the nails on the floor. You hear all this. Those stories are so commonplace. It may be more commonplace than people sharing stories of interactions with loved ones right after they've passed. Like something about
I agree. I think
a
it's,
pet.
I think
it
it's
just
common.
Seems to be more common.
Very cool.
You know what? I don't understand. Is it really a thing? Is it really that's what's happening? Or is it like, because like we've talked about, there are like your pets, the loss of your pet can have serious repercussions on the family and on yourself.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Especially
people don't realize. And even when you're little and you're raised with them, or even as you older, it's not like, well, it only matters if you've been a pet owner for, you know, all your life. Like if you're a new pet owner, like that's not true. It's like I said, we don't deserve them. And this does not surprise me. It's just so wild that it's so common that I feel like it should be more commonplace spoke about. So that's kind of one of the reasons I did it is you think back to, I think more people have had maybe these encounters or maybe these experiences way more than they realized. And I often wonder if it's the pets, like, you know, whenever you hear people talking about, like, I knew not to go down that alley.
Right. Yeah.
Or I knew not to drive this way, or I knew something wasn't right. Maybe it's a pet. Maybe your pet's with you while is going. Maybe it's their influence on you as like a guide. Maybe they really are some type of spiritual guide, or maybe they're just simply a pet and they miss you. So they've decided to come back and stay, but you could see how they could get attached. So.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Check this out real quick. We have a listener, Emily from Montana, sent in this pretty cool story. Check this out.
Hi guys, this is Emily. I'm from out in Montana. I'm okay with you using my name. I wanted to tell you guys this story about a kind of dream I had that turned out to be pretty accurate. Kind of a confusing story, but back in 2017, me and my sister and my mom decided we were going to go to Iceland. And so we, you know, got a car when we got there, and we traveled all around the outer rim of Iceland. And it was really, really cool. And while we were there, we stayed in this bed and breakfast type place. And it was so beautiful. You know, there was just waterfalls all around, just stunningly beautiful. And the house was very old. You could tell it was old. All the molding on the outside was like hand engraved, and it was just a beautiful old house. Well, we were kind of bored. It was one of the last nights of our trip, and we were just really tired, and so we decided we were just going to stay in. And I was kind of poking around in this, like, you know, in this hostel we were in, and there was a little box by the window, and I opened the box, and there was, like, a bone in there, there were some rocks in there, and there was a tarot card in there. And I kind of shut it right away, and I was like, wow, that's kind of eerie. That was kind of a weird thing to find in there. But I didn't think much of it. Later that night, I woke up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, and I went across the hall to the bathroom, and the lights flickered in the bathroom. And it kind of freaked me out, but I didn't really think anything of it again, and I just, you know, went to the bathroom, went back to bed. And I kind of shut my eyes, and I felt like someone was holding their hand over my head, like almost like petting my hair. And when I closed my eyes, I have this really clear image of a woman who is in a black dress, very high collar with the little white ruffles on the upper side. And she was saying, "Salka, Salka, Salka." I had no idea what that meant, but I felt like she was calling out to someone. And I felt like she wasn't from Iceland, she was from Norway. And I was just getting all these like ideas and images in my head. Well, the next day, I told my mom and my sister about it, and they were just like, "What? What are you talking about? That's crazy." And I looked up what Salka meant, and Salka is an old Norwegian name from around the time when, you know, they started coming over to Iceland, and it's a very common girl's name in Iceland. Then we went to a rock collection, like a gemstone collection. It's called Petra Stones, and this woman collected all these rocks, and she put them all around her house. Well, the house where these rocks are at was actually her home. And in the home, there was a picture of a woman who was wearing the same exact dress as the woman in my vision. And I was just, like, astonished because I literally didn't think people even dressed like that in Iceland. Like, it was just such a strange experience. And, you know, maybe my brain just made that up, like, put all those things together. But I really don't think so. I really think that I had some sort of, like, ghostly encounter that night. And it was definitely one of the craziest and coolest things that has happened to me in a paranormal sense. And I have more stories, and I know it's annoying when people do this, but I will call back because I felt like that was a really long message. Anyway, thanks, guys. I love the show. Bye.
And there we go.
That's awesome.
Strange sighting, right? Sound like possibly a ghost of some woman looking for something. A daughter or a loved one, who knows?
That is so wild, right?
And
I want an encounter, but then again, I don't, right? Like, I really want, and I don't mean just a sound. I'm talking like, I want to see something. And then part of me is like, no, you don't. You don't want to see any of that.
Right. And please don't apologize for the story being too long. It wasn't too long.
No.
In fact, when people call in, I want the story to be long, right? I don't like it when you skip to the good part. I like the build up. Give me the whole story. Build the scene. Where were you at? What happened? What did you feel? All that. It's the little stuff that makes it so
detailed. That's what makes the story.
Yeah,
exactly. That's what makes the story.
Right. It's a new year. Do you got any new plans? Any new you working on anything?
No, I'm just going to be the same old me. Nobody likes the same old me last year. Nobody liked the same old me this year. It's just, I would rather be consistent.
Jomo.
That's it. Jomo, I'm Jomo consistent. Life. I would like to lose more weight. I've lost
you
some.
Need to get tattooed on your knuckles.
Jomo on my knuckle. I might do that. Mess around. I'm going to get more tattoos this year.
Are you really?
Well, yeah. So we have a good friend of the show and listener, Lucas Eagleton. He's a tattoo artist. He owns a Black Bison Tattoo up in, I think it's near Tacoma or Seattle. It's right up in that area somewhere. If you're up in that area and you want to go see some really cool tattoo work, that's it. And we've also got another tattoo homie, Jason Tucker. He's down in, I believe, Melbourne, Florida, down there too. I would like to, if everything works out, I'd like to go visit those people for some ink work. But I have talked, I went and saw Lucas when he was, because he used to be in Denton. And when he came down for the tattoo thing at the convention a couple of years ago, and I went and talked to him and all that, and I'm setting it up to where I'd like to go up there and get my left arm completely done up there. So that's kind of a plan that I have, but it probably won't come to fruition. So yeah, I don't really have
any kind of theme that you're going with. Are you going with something Nordic? Or are you going to go something like fantasy art, D&D?
Yeah, I'm probably going to go. It'll either be completely involving the outdoors or completely involving Dungeons and Dragons.
I have like a nice,
like a whole Larry Elmore out, just like all up my arm or
have
something.
Have a very picturesque mountain scene with elk grazing, and then just have like a D20 over there.
Just like a barbarian in there, just holding a head, staring off into the, like something like that. Yeah.
A crazy tiefling.
I want to share something with y'all now that we're talking about pets. And I had forgot that I had had this, right? I don't remember where this came from. If it was, who had sent it to me? But it was someone was talking about dogs, right? And how, and I'm sure some of you have seen this whole thing. And I want to leave this with you. This is what somebody had written about the way dogs might view us. And it says, for generations, he has guarded over my family. Since the days of my great-great-great-great-grandfather, he has kept us safe. For so long, we thought him immortal, but now I see differently. For just as my fur grows gray and my joints grow stiff, so too do his. He did not take my children, but gave them away to his. I will be the last that he cares for. My only hope is that I am able to last until his final moments. The death of one of his kind is so rare. The ending of a life so long and such is such a tragedy. He has seen so much. He knows so much. I know he takes comfort in my presence. I only wish that I will be able to give him this comfort until his end. Because it is written, as dogs view us as elves. Because we outlive their generations.
Oh.
And we raise their children and their children's children, and we raise on until we pass. And to a dog, when we pass, is a grand thing. You think about it, because of our life being so much longer than theirs.
True.
So that's the reason they have to fit all that love and companionship in those small windows.
Yeah. Very cool.
It's a very neat way to look at it.
It is a neat way to look at it. I appreciate you reading that.
Yeah.
If you have any stories you want to share with me and Cam, please don't hesitate. Like I said, make them lengthy as you want.
Yeah.
Email the show, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the show, 888-393-BRUD. That's 888-393-2783. And you can tell the story and it might appear here on the show. Anything else planned, Cam?
No, just know that Kyle and I have got something in the works.
We do have something in the
works. We've got it going this week. We've got something in the works, and hopefully by, let's see, spring? Hopefully by springtime, this spring, we'll be able to pop it on you guys. But I think y'all are really, this is going to be something that a lot of y'all have asked about for a long time. And we're finally coming through with it.
Yeah, I can't wait to show it to everybody. But yeah. That's it, folks, for this episode. Till next time, be careful out there. I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.